Here's what's happening inside agriculture. While the pork industry expects major delays and disruption at U.S. shipping ports from an UN cargo container rule. Now, the new rule by the UN's International Maritime Organization takes effect July 1st, but faces some opposition from the Agricultural Transportation Coalition. Dave Warner, spokesperson for the National Pork Producers Council, a member of the coalition, says Congress did not review the rule.
There wasn't any input from, really any input from the United States. Congress didn't review it. So we're concerned about the effects of this rule.
Warner says the impact could be significant and widespread.
This rule requires the shipper, and in this case it would be the packing plant in, say, the middle of Iowa, to verify the weight of the container and its contents, the weight that's going on the ship.
Which is one thing, he says, if the weight does not change from the packer to the ship.
But if it does, if it's put into a different container, then who's going to verify that weight? And if it's wrong, who's going to be liable for that?
Warner says crates from one part of the country could be combined in new containers with boxes from elsewhere. However, Warner says the Ag Coalition is not yet completely opposed to the rule, but wants to know more about how the UN International Maritime Organization will implement and enforce it. Also inside agriculture, the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City says weakness in U.S. agriculture could spill over into other parts of rural economies. Nathan Kaufman says with the agriculture decline in income and farm jobs, there's a potential for declines in Main Street activity. That according to Reuters. Kaufman says a strong U.S. dollar and softening demand from China will continue to pressure the agriculture sector this year. He spoke at last week's USDA Agriculture Outlook Forum. He told attendees there seems to be less uncertainty about where things are headed, as most forecasters expect the supply glut of crops to continue to weigh on prices. Kaufman added the struggles in the farm economy do not rival the collapse of the 1980s, saying he wants to be careful not to suggest that the sky is falling. Well, we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, Supreme Court is not going to hear the Chesapeake Bay cleanup case. Not going to talk about it. Well, I want to remind you that you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890 and Thunder 106.1, Lisbon and Fargo. We're back after this. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. While the China National Chemical Corporation, or ChemChina, is seeking $35 billion in loans to fund its acquisition of Syngenta, Bloomberg reports the company has already hired a bank to arrange for a $15 billion loan and will meet this week with lenders about a separate $20 billion loan. ChemChina agreed to buy Syngenta this year for $43 billion. Now, the deal will transform ChemChina into the world's largest supplier of pesticides and agrochemicals. The deal also brings the potential of introducing Syngenta's genetically engineered products to China. However, as Bloomberg points out, the planned loans add more debt to the nation's businesses and may stoke concerns about the businesses piling up debt in a push to buy foreign technology. While two agriculture equipment manufacturers announced they're cutting a combined 170 jobs amid slumping sales in a sluggish economy. Deere announced last week 100 employees represented by the United Auto Workers will be laid off indefinitely starting April 1st at two factories in Iowa that make construction and forestry machinery. According to Reuters, Deere expects an 11% decline in sales this year compared to 2015. Around 1,500 Deere manufacturer employees are currently on layoff due to the sluggish agriculture economy. Meanwhile, Caterpillar, the world's largest maker of construction and mining equipment, said it will halt production of its on-highway trucks, eliminating 70 jobs. Caterpillar's employment numbers are down 8% worldwide, as the company last year outlined a restructuring that could cut 10,000 employees by 2018. and shut down factories around the globe. While during 2015, heavy disease pressure was a rule rather than the exception for most growers, Michael Clements has more.
With the wet winter and pathogen carryover, 2016 will likely be another heavy disease year for many growers, emphasizing the need for a harder-working, longer-lasting fungicide to protect the yield potential of corn crops. An option available for growers this year is Syngenta's Trivapro fungicide. Durbin Druist is an agronomy service representative with Syngenta who oversees field trials in Pennsylvania. Druist says the trials were targeted at controlling the northern corn leaf blight.
What I've observed over the last 2 years with Trivapro trials is we seem to be able to extend the disease protection about 2 weeks longer than some of our standard fungicide programs that we were testing against.
Druist explains the results of the trials and the benefits of Trivapro for farmers.
In 2014, we had very severe northern corn leaf blight pressure. And with the use of Trivapro, we were able to not only push back the infection, but when the infection did break, a lot less severity in the disease. I don't have an exact percentage to put on it, but it was very visually graphic and identifiable.
He says Trivapro provides additional benefits, including enhanced stalk strength and reduced lodging. As for the long-term performance of Trivapro, Druist says,
there's two words I use to describe Trivapro, and it's stronger and longer. The disease prevention characteristics of Trivapro really help us in slowing down the infection process as the disease moves into the plant. And, you know, the fact that we're getting residual activity that's lasting longer, the benefits of that to the grower then is going to be, you know, the plant should be better able to go through the natural yield building process. And at the end of the day, I'm confident we'll see improved yield and improved ROI at the customer level, and that benefits everybody.
Well, an Oregon State University researcher is part of an international team studying a tiny worm that's causing big trouble in fields of potatoes, the fourth most consumed food staple in the world. Dee Denver, a genomist at OSU's College of Agricultural Sciences, is working with scientists from Idaho, New York, Canada, France, and Scotland on a five-year, $3.2 million project funded by USDA. The researchers are taking aim at potato cyst nematodes. The nematodes attack the roots, reducing yields by up to 80%. A key objective of the study is to find less environmental damaging strategies for controlling the pests. The U.S. crop brings farmers about $4 billion a year. Oregon State says potatoes are grown on every continent, and the U.S. ranks fourth in global production after China, the Russian Federation, and India. We'll be back with more of Inside Agriculture right after this. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, and Farm and Country, Thunder 106.1, also Lisbon and Fargo. While the 18th Annual National Value-Added Conference gives farmers an opportunity to learn more about value-added agriculture, Michael Clements has more.
The traveling conference themed Agriculture, Innovation, and Entrepreneurship, Developing Thriving Rural Communities, stops in Madison, Wisconsin this July. Wisconsin Department of Agriculture's Teresa Feiner says the conference provides an opportunity to learn more about value-added agriculture.
Topics that we're going to be focusing on are adding value to agriculture. So that includes agritourism, rural and urban economic development, handling food waste, focusing on food safety, what are the policies surrounding value-added agriculture, looking at local and regional food systems and some of the things that are trending in terms of consumer demands. The National Value-Added Agriculture is pretty broad in terms of its focus, so it's really focusing on the value-added component.
She says Wisconsin is a great place to showcase value-added agriculture as attendees can tour sausage, cheese, and wine and beer operations.
I think everyone kind of thinks of Wisconsin as the cheese state, and cheese is the perfect example of something that's value-added. You know, it's taking milk and adding a premium to the raw product, and that's exactly what value-added agriculture does. but we also have really strong industries in value-added in terms of vegetable processing. We are the leader in a number of different areas in vegetable processing, and that's just another example of value-added agriculture in Wisconsin.
She explains why farmers should attend the conference.
If you're looking for sort of alternative systems to help farms become more profitable, this is really the conference for you. And this conference is all about big thinking, big strategy, trying to make farms diversified to absorb risk.
The conference runs July 21st through the 22nd. Learn more and find registration information online at agmrc.org. Michael Clements reporting.
Well, we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, we're going to talk about farmers that are encouraged to review tax changes. Seems like every year when it's time to do taxes, got to take a look at what's going on as far as those taxes are concerned. Well, we'll take a break, and when we come back, maybe we'll review your taxes. That's coming up right after this. Well, as we begin to wrap up what's going on inside agriculture, I want to remind you that Mick Kerr and yours truly are going to be broadcasting live from Commodity Classic. We'll start our broadcast tomorrow, but we'll be broadcasting all the way through Saturday and taking in all the activities of getting jazzed in New Orleans. Things get underway on Thursday, go through Saturday, but Mick and I are going to be leaving early Saturday to get back here because Mick has to go to the National Farmers Union Convention. That in Minneapolis. He'll leave here Sunday morning and be in Minneapolis all the way through Tuesday. So a lot of activity for you to take in inside agriculture, as well as Farm Talk with Mick Kerr. Well, before we took the break, we said April 15th may be more than a month away, but now's the time for those in the ag community to plan ahead for taxes. Now, tax accountant Paul Neffer says while there are a few changes from last year, recent action by Congress will benefit farmers.
Section 179 is now permanent at the $500,000 level, indexed to inflation, and so that's important for our farmers out there. Also, bonus depreciation, 50% bonus depreciation, is actually available on new assets.
Neffer added Section 179 covers new and used equipment, while bonus is only available on new assets. He also stressed that farmers must understand how crop insurance will impact their portfolio. Crop insurance is reported on the gross, which can lead to farmers being shortchanged.
So let's say they got $100,000 crop insurance proceeds, but the company used $30,000 of that pay for the premium that was due this year. The farmer is going to give us the 1099, and we may not be aware of the $30,000 that was used to pay that crop insurance proceeds. So we might miss that deduction.
Neffer says that it's important that regardless of the size of the operation, it's important that you keep detailed records before filing this season. Also, finally, in agriculture news, as we talk about what's going on inside agriculture, a report by the United Nations released last week says the decline in bee populations is likely to continue unless humans change their behavior. Bee colonies have been collapsing in many parts of the globe. And the report, Global Bee Colony Disorders and Other Threats to Insect Pollinators, cites more than a dozen potential factors. Those factors in the report include declines in flowering plants and the use of memory-damaging insecticides and air pollution. A UN researcher points out that of the 100 crop species that provide 90% of the world's food, over 70 are pollinated by bees. Declines in managed bee colonies date back to the mid-60s in Europe, but have accelerated since 1998. Also, the report also points to agriculture chemicals as playing a part in the decline of bees, saying the chemicals can weaken bees' immune systems. The report urges that farmers be offered incentives to restore pollinator-friendly habitats, such as flowering plants next to crop-producing fields. Well, there it is. That's what's going on inside agriculture. Hope you enjoyed the program. Join us as we broadcast tomorrow from New Orleans. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.